Joining us on the phone line is Congressman Tim Walberg. Thanks for calling today, Tim.
Hey, Steve. Good to be with you, and great to give Greg a little break before he starts a new year. So happy new year to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, glad you called today. I know everybody's kind of on a break in the legislature, so it's a good time to kind of look back at things that you've gotten done this year and maybe take a look at what you guys are working on for next year. But specifically, obviously, everybody's still talking about the tax reform package, and I guess the last time you called in, you kind of gave us your insight on it. Has that changed at all?
No, it hasn't. As I look at it more and more, I'm more excited about it, and I know there's been a lot of information put out over the course of the past number of months, especially on the national media, that has resulted in great confusion to the taxpayer as to whether it's a good effect or a bad effect. And I think if they listen to the majority of national media, they would assume that it wasn't a tax cut for the middle class, but it was for the upper class. And thankfully for programs like this, where we can get back into the districts itself, we can tell the people, tell you what, a lot of conflicting voices, but wait till February at the very latest when you see your withholding on your paycheck, check the check, and you'll see, my gracious, there is a reduction in withholding, so that means there must be less taxes taken out. So maybe it was true what the Republicans were saying, that this was a tax cut for the middle class. It was a tax cut for all tax brackets, but it was mainly geared toward the greatest percentages being received by the middle class, and that's what actually resulted as well. A lot of other things went with it, too, that will encourage people with kids. $1,000 more, it was a doubling of the child tax credit. We still have charitable tax deductions, still have historic tax credit, and that's being helpful for Jackson downtown with the Hayes Hotel, building plans that go on there, and other things that often were talked about as being taken out. Students, student tuition, especially grad students, the original word that was out was that they were going to lose all of that. That didn't take place. And so now the reality will come out, and I think America will be very much appreciative that the work was done as according to what it was said.
Tim, can you address a couple of questions that I think, as you mentioned, some of the information in the media is, I don't know that it's necessarily misleading, but unclear. For instance, the idea that this tax cut's going to add to the deficit and add to the debt, what's the reality of that?
Well, it's interesting. There is a cost to it. A tax cut has a cost, and it's $1.5 trillion over 10 years. But remember, put that in perspective. The same group of people that are decrying that and saying it's adding to our deficit is the same group that supported our last president and administration in increasing the debt in 8 years to $20 trillion, $10 trillion over what was in place when President Obama took office. So if they're concerned about 1.5 in 10 years, why weren't they concerned about $10 trillion in 8 years that took place? But bottom line is, Steve, that $1.5 trillion is scored on the basis of static scoring. That's the process that CBO uses. We'd like to see that change to dynamic scoring, because we know that whether you increase spending, cut spending, increase taxes, cut taxes, there's an impact that's dynamic on the economy. We know from past history with Bill Clinton, with Ronald Reagan, with John F. Kennedy, when they cut taxes, revenues went up for the government, and it primarily was a result of the fact that people had more money to spend, save, invest. They did more with it. More taxes were collected because of people using their resources as opposed to simply the government taking it from them. And we saw the economy grow, and ultimately the deficit was decreased. I think the same thing will happen, and we're ready and willing to stand on that over the course of the next 10 years, as the economy grows, it won't be a deficit producer, but in fact will reduce the deficit and will in fact give us a chance if we do the right thing. And this is something, Steve, that the voters need to keep our feet to the fire on, that Congress doesn't do the normal thing that's been done over the past couple decades, and that's increased spending. We need to set priorities and actually reduce spending and give more of the dollars back to the local communities, the the local entities that serve the people back in the states and the districts, and oh, by the way, maybe give it back to the taxpayer as well.
Sounds good. What else are accomplishments you had in the past year are you particularly proud of, or at least think that did something to help out your constituency?
Yeah, well, if you read the national media, you would think that the Congress was unable to do anything. But in fact, it was just the opposite. There were 544 bills passed out of committee. I serve on the Energy and Commerce Committee. A number of major bills came out of that committee, including the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act, giving a patient-centered approach to health care. That went to the Senate. But those 540 bills that were passed, that was 132% higher than average, and 52% more than under the Obama administration. We had 477 of those bills pass the House and go to the Senate. Again, that was way beyond the average for our country, for our Congress. And 378 of those bills still remain in the Senate. And that's where the problem lies, Steve. We passed a lot of legislation. Most of it was passed in a bipartisan fashion, such as 21st Century Cures Act, that was passed using both Democrat and Republican votes very clearly on that, and a number of other key issues. But the Senate is being blocked by the filibuster, and there that lies directly in Chuck Schumer's responsibility of not giving at least 8 votes to the Republicans to move a bill at least to the floor for consideration and debate. And we need to see that change in the coming year, because America is expecting us to get things done through both houses and let the president have the opportunity to sign or veto, but do the thing that is expected of us. But we passed numerous pieces of legislation, a number of which that have come to the president, dealing with the opioid heroin abuse crisis. Debbie Dingell and I have co-sponsored several bills together dealing with that issue. A couple of those lay in the Senate right now. We'd like to see those moved. Human trafficking, we passed a package of bills dealing with that in a bipartisan way. That has gone to the president for signing. A number of things relative to regulatory reform. The president has signed 14 Congressional Review Acts, one of which, the last one, being mine, dealing with pensions for private sector employees and keeping them safe from takeover by municipalities that want to use it for adding to their resources. So a lot of regulatory reform has taken place, and we're excited to see the impact as it's developing with a great stock market, with businesses that are excited. I mean, just this last week, as a result of the tax cut, we saw businesses like AT&T, Boeing, and other major corporations give bonuses back to the tune of $1,000 per employee. Several hundred thousand employees received that. It was a great Christmas gift for them to receive. And we also have seen indications from places like AT&T. They've committed to over $1 billion of infrastructure improvements and expansions. And so things look good and optimistic, but we got to keep on keeping on.
So when you're back to work 2018, what's at the top of your agenda and your organization's agenda there?
Well, I think the top of our agenda has been pointed out by the President and the Speaker of the House, is immigration reform, to make sure that, number one, we deal with securing our borders, but two, the DACA recipients who are waiting. The President has given us till March to come up with a proposal dealing with DACA to put them in some type of legal fashion. That's at the top of the heap. We have responsibilities leaning toward doing entitlement reform. That includes making sure that we keep the promises to Social Security recipients, Medicare recipients, and fix it so they don't lose those dollars. We need to do that, but also welfare reform that gives incentives to able-bodied, employable adults to be out there and in the marketplace like you and me, earning our share and paying our part of what is involved in keeping this great society going. We want to also move back to finish off health care reform, and the President is very much committed to that, and we think there is a way forward both in the House and the Senate to do that. It'll be different than what the House did initially, but at least it'll give an opportunity for us to repair the mistake that was made back in 2010 with the Affordable Care Act. So those are a number of things that are happening, and Then on my committees, we're working with completing the Higher Education Act reauthorization. So our colleges and universities, our higher education institutions, whether it be apprenticeship programs, community colleges, et cetera, know where they stand and what they can expect from the federal government. So those things are in the pipeline, and I'm sure we'll have a very full year to follow.
Yeah, that sounded like plenty to keep you busy, at least to get you started for 2018.
Absolutely. And then a personal goal is to lose about 15 pounds, some of which I put on this Christmas season.
Oh, man, that's my same goal number. So maybe we'll check in later in the year and see if we hit it.
Okay.
My weight loss challenge with Congressman Tim Walberg, who can get to 15 first. Tim, anything else you want to hit on before we wrap it up?
Well, I guess the only thing I'd say is to all of your listeners and the people at the station, the happiest New Year wishes to you all. We will have challenges with the foreign issues, North Korea, Iran, and some of those things going on. Sometimes we can forget how great it is with America and why it is most important that whether Republican, Democrat, Independent, male, female, you name it, that we roll up our sleeves together and continue to make this great country the greatest place that we could possibly think of living and a great place of impact for the rest of the world as well in a very positive way. So while we have disagreements, yet let's not forget that we are united in the fact we're Americans, we have great blessings in our life, and we need to share those and move on in a positive way. So Happy New Year to you all, and we look forward to being with you in the coming year.
All right. Thank you very much, Area Congressman Tim Walberg.